Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Joel Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Yes, it is, and I'm with two amazing human beings on the face of the planet right here, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Steve. We're very thankful for you today.
We love those introductions. We're thankful for them.
Yes.
Well, you deserve them. You deserve them. And, you know, somebody on somebody else's list deserves one of the 12 gifts of Christmas, especially that special hoodie. I love the hoodie. It's got the New Life tree with roots on it. You know, the tree's got the brain in the center of it, signifying, of course.
Not by intention, just by design, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's signifying that we transform our lives by changing the way that we think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, it is intentional. I asked them to put that
in. Did you?
Yes, I think it is intentional.
Oh, okay.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. When my brain gave out,
like
I said,
rethink how you think.
Yeah. Yes. Right. I didn't know it was intentional. That's see, you learn something new every day.
That's right. By the way, we're talking about being thankful because this is the program that we taped earlier for Thanksgiving. My family, well, we're down at a little cabin there that we rent for $100 for Thanksgiving, and just my mom's out, and we're having a great time, unless, you know, they were mean to me, and then I'm probably flashing back or something like that. But we're thankful for you. And I'm going to be preaching this Sunday at Northview Church right here in Carmel, Indiana. Northview is a large church, about 7,000 people on a Sunday. And I'll be preaching, talking about Beyond Thanksgiving. And one of the things that I'm going to be talking about is that, you know, it's one thing to be thankful. People that use people are thankful. They might even say, God, thank you for all the people I was able to use and get all that good stuff. And people that waste are thankful. Stackers are thankful. You know, you could be a hoarding stacker. You could be, you could think you're responsible and have all these stacks of money and assets and think, look how responsible I am. And yet, God would like to use those stacks, you know. He might have something else for you to do with them. So maybe you build up some stacks and that's responsible. But not too many. Don't go overboard, because it will rot and rust, according to the Bible. But, you know, if you're thankful and you live in gratitude, you get to go from just being thankful to living the best life ever. So, tell you, we love you. We're thankful to you. We are so grateful for your support in every way. And we thank God that this ministry has existed for 27 years. Pretty exciting, if you ask me.
That's not only exciting. That's unusual,
mm-hmm.
because
27 years.
That's quite the track record, Steve.
And yes,
you're a big part of why it's been so successful. In that your integrity is contagious throughout the whole organization.
Oh well, thank you.
His vision and enthusiasm too.
Yeah,
his energy keeps us all going.
We're both volunteers, so we can speak with authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're a great gift, and I'm grateful to you. And I only did one thing, and that was I had this motto in the tough times: never stop dancing. Don't get off that dance floor. And I've had people to dance with me, and that's been a great gift. Well, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll go to the phones. Every Man's Battle, December the 4th in Denver. Lose It for Life, January 22nd. If you've been wondering why those diet books don't work, I can help you with that. Help you keep off the weight forever, for good. January 22nd. We start working from the inside out. It makes all the difference in the world, you know. And Ultimate Intimacy Intensive is February the 12th, 13th, 14th. Boy, that'll be a great one. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Max Licato. You know, I've been a pastor for 3 decades, and I've seen people run to different things for comfort when they're hurting. Some run to drugs, some to alcohol, some folks go shopping, some gamble their money away, some folks turn to sex, yet others turn to food. If food is something you've chosen as your drug of choice and you'd like to break that habit, that obsession, that addiction, whatever you want to call it, the good folks at New Life can help you. They have a weight loss weekend coming up, and you ought to look into it. There's no reason to let weight define who you are. Get your health back. You know, you're a child of God. He has something better in store for you than living and hiding behind your weight problem. Call 800-NEW-LIFE today. Right now, ask them about the New Life Weight Loss Weekend. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or just check it out online at newlife.com. It could change your life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Yeah, we're back. Okay, let's talk with Sarah, Washington, D.C., WAVA. Thanks for holding there, Sarah. Hi, how are you? How could we help you?
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Doing okay. How about you?
I'm doing all right, thank you. Okay. I have a question. I would like to know the kind of conversation I should have with my ex-husband pertaining to a text message that my daughter, who's 13, found on his iPad. It was a text message from his girlfriend, I believe, to him, but it was the picture of a naked man.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Hmm. Well, I think you have to say that she was quite concerned about this.
And you're quite concerned.
And you're concerned. Mm-hmm. And so why was that there? What was that all about? How could you, what do you think about it? How can we guarantee that's not going to happen again?
What can we do to protect our daughter from seeing
the thing with him is that I don't believe he will receive it well. He's very much on the defensive. This is actually the reason why. This type of activity is actually the reason why we divorced. Mm-hmm. And he was heavily into pornography and many affairs. So I think he will be on the defensive. That's why I've held on for about 2 weeks now that I found out, because I didn't know how to approach him.
Well, what's going on with your daughter, Sarah?
How's she handling it? I asked her how she felt about it. The thing with her is that she is disappointed. She said to me exactly, I don't believe Dada is really the person that he wants us to believe he is. Mm-hmm. That's what she said.
Well, that's a really healthy thing for her to say, as sad as
it is.
Yeah.
And has she said that to her dad?
No, she was afraid. She said he had asked her that day, did you look into my text messages? And she said she had to lie to him and say no because she was afraid.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Well, and Sarah, why was she looking at his text messages?
His iPad was on.
I understand that.
And her phone had died, and so she was using that to text him back.
Oh, okay.
And particular message was on.
Well, that's very innocent then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things, you know, if her dad is unresponsive, you know, to help her process that, to validate her feelings of, you know, dad maybe has some things that you're right, that he keeps hidden. And, you know, help her to kind of make sense of that, and then, you know, how to protect herself. Because in divorce situations, the kids have to take a greater role in making choices and knowing kind of right from wrong, especially when a parent isn't active in helping them with that. And so kind of teaching her what she's up against and how can she protect herself.
Yeah. Well, and I would be concerned that she's so afraid of him.
That is a concern.
Somehow you have to empower her. I don't know mm-hmm. that I would have a conversation with him. I don't know that it would be a conversation. It would be a dictate mm-hmm. that says, you know, you need to be more careful with your out of line behaviors mm-hmm. with our daughter and just make a blanket statement. But with your daughter mm-hmm. somehow helping her be able to say something to her dad mm-hmm. might be a more important conversation for you to have, and empowering her. I mean, she could say, you know, I was using your iPad to text something, to text you, and
I accidentally saw something
that really upsets me, and I don't like that. That's all she
and
has
I
to
had
say.
No idea. I had no idea.
And I wasn't looking through your messages. It was an accident. And
letting her dad know that she knows.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't have to question him. She's just letting him know.
Yeah, just like with you, it's a statement. It's mm-hmm. not a conversation. And okay. and you say, I was really upset by it.
And she's been kind of inquisitive as to the reason why things are the way they are with us, why we were divorced. And I haven't really told her the reason.
I would tell her, but not in detail.
Mm-hmm.
That it was those kinds of things that went on. It's a perfect opportunity to say it was those kind of things and more that went on when we were married that was just unacceptable.
The other option is to tell her, oh, it's not that bad. He's a good man. Minimize it and destroy any kind of connection that you have because she comes to discover you're not dependable and reliable.
Yeah, tell her the truth.
And that's what I told her. She was kind of reluctant for me to say anything. And I told her, no, I will talk to him. I have to protect you. That's what I told her. Mm-hmm. I told her I need to let him know that he need not bring this kind of things around you guys. Because she has a younger sister, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Right. Wow. And you can exchange information with him, right? You're giving him the information. She accidentally mm-hmm. ran across something.
Yep.
Can you keep your personal life more private?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That's all you have
to shield
do.
Our
when
kids.
He protests,
or don't
hey,
say,
come on.
Can you? Say,
just say
do it.
Yeah. Please keep your personal life more private.
Yeah.
Yep. I like Dave's word. Dictate.
Yeah.
A dictate.
Well, it's not, you're not getting into his issues because that's not your role anymore.
No.
Right? Yeah. You're not trying to make him a moral guy because you can't.
You're just trying
to protect
your
kids.
Daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Jenny from Denver, Colorado, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, I'm on the air.
You are on the air, and congratulations.
Oh, what, for 35 years of marriage? Is that what you're going to say?
Yes.
No, for getting on the air.
For getting on the air.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jenny.
Oh, I'm taking you off a speaker. Well, I didn't know why I was being congratulated. you know, I have a question. My husband has not been interested in me in years, like 15, and for the longest time, I weighed 110 pounds, and then when I got up to 120, he always, ever since then, has compared me to weighing 110. Mm-hmm. And then about 6 years ago, we were planning, I can't say where we live, but we really don't live in Denver. We live about 5 hours away. And he said he came, we have separate bedrooms, and he came into my bedroom in the morning and said, the weekend in Denver is off. Now, mind you, he was yelling this. And mm-hmm. for 30 minutes, he yelled at me about how fat I was. Mm. And I don't understand. I don't see any evidence of pornography. My therapist says that there has to be some. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why he doesn't like me.
Okay. Mm. All right.
Actually, I mentioned one thing. His dad, an earlier caller mentioned that a person's dad died, her husband's dad committed suicide when he was 10. My husband's dad was electrocuted in front of him when he was 12.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
And so I don't and he's such a workaholic. He just is intense on making the most money possible. I think he's an honorable man, but I don't understand why. And he looks at pictures of me whenever I was 10 and says, well, I like that one.
Why did you say he's an honorable man while you're describing him as a cruel, dishonorable, inconsiderate?
I don't think he's into pornography.
Okay, but why do you think he's an honorable?
That's all my therapist could come up with.
Well, yeah. And that's what we'll probably come up with too. Because what happens when you're in pornography?
I can't find any evidence.
You got evidence in the way he treats you.
I mean, he was so abusive. He treats me like an object. And in fact, we used to live a far away from here. I can't say where, but he took me out for a nice dinner. Mind you, this is after twice in our marriage he told me to leave because I wouldn't agree with how he wanted to manage our lives. I didn't support him in his business because he was a workaholic.
Let me ask you to consider something here.
He told me after taking me out to dinner, he said, well, I thought we were married so you could just put out. I'm like, oh. Okay.
Yeah. Mm. All right. So this is horrible. Mm-hmm. And I really hope that
I don't understand
won't...
if I'm just a piece of or what.
Okay. Hold on.
I'm sorry to cuss on the radio.
Hold on. Mm. Do you want to listen to what we have to say or not?
I will.
Okay. So here's the thing. I would like you to stop saying that he's an honorable man. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense with the other things that you say. Okay? Now, let's just say that what you have is a man who feels no intrinsic value within himself. Okay? Got that?
Okay.
Based on death of dad, all sorts of things. So everything of value to him, any sense of worth comes from outside of him. He works hard to achieve and to earn money because that gives him a sense of value. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
If he's making money, he feels valuable. And then what else is outside of him?
Well, but add to that that he doesn't, that you don't value his value, which is a mark against you.
I don't value
his making money.
Right. But I want to go here with this.
Well, he puts that above our relationship.
Yeah, that's right.
But here's
the
thing. Let me finish this train of thought before the train gets off the track.
Outside
of him is also you. He has work, and he has a wife. And you bring him value. And the more you weigh, the less value you bring to him, see? The more attractive, thin, all that stuff, see? He thinks, that's where I feel something for her. Because you are an object to him. You are something that he is in possession.
Well, you're supposed to make him look good, right?
Yeah, exactly, see? Because you looking good, just like his money and his accomplishments and his bank accounts, make him look good. And so he doesn't know how to have a relationship. He does treat you like property, disrespects you, has no concept that there's a human being.
Steve, don't you think? I mean,
go ahead.
You were supposed to add to his life, Jenny.
There you go.
And help him to have what he lacks. And the more human you become and the more you have needs of your own and shortcomings, the more he despises that because it sounds like he despises that in himself. And so that gets then tossed on to you. So it's not about how thin you are or what you do, really. This is a man who has brokenness inside of him.
Yeah. And you were a disappointment, you know, from 2 weeks after marriage or whenever, you know, because people that marry hoping it's going to fix everything or some fantasy that life's going to feel good when it doesn't happen, well, guess whose fault that is? It's the person they married to them. So for you to expect anything wonderful from him, that's not going to happen. Now, what's your question for us?
Are you there, Jenny?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
What's your question for us?
I wanted to know how to repair, how to have a relationship with this person.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be very hard.
He won't go to therapy with me.
It's going to be very shallow.
So I think you need to start by seeing his hurt. I think you need to start by valuing what he, you know, kind of praising him for what he values. Okay? Because until he feels like you're somewhat on his team, he's not going to see you.
And here's another thing. You don't need to get thin. Okay?
No.
But I do think, given who you're married to, if you want to connect with him, he will connect with you if you work on you. You know,
well, I
being
am, but
fit,
at the
yeah,
time
being
he yelled
fit.
At me for 30 minutes in the morning before I was even awake, I was working out three times a week.
Uh-huh. Well, but if he'll see you working, he'll value that more. And then when you stop allowing him to yell at you for 30 minutes, see, the maximum allowance for someone yelling at you is about, should be about 10 seconds. And then you need to go somewhere else.
I didn't know that. I thought I was all bad.
Well you're buying the lie. You're buying the lie, Jenny.
Why would you think that?
Yeah.
Because
where does that come from?
So you just continued the growing up.
You married someone.
So you kind of, have nurtured this in him a bit.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery, and it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person. For the first time in my life, I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, we are back. And we're glad that you're back with us. And Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard. And Dave, you want to just give Jenny a couple of words here?
Jenny, you're all caught up in trying to fix your husband or understand your husband. I think you've got to recognize what Steve said, that it has nothing to do with your weight. It has a lot to do with you. And what we told you about your husband is just for information, that you can't fix it, but you can work on yourself. If you said you came from a background where you felt you were bad, all bad, that's where you got to start and understand that, because you brought that into the marriage and you married somebody who just perpetuated that.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens all too often. So,
well, and we're not saying work on yourself the way your husband is telling you.
No.
No, that's not what we're talking about. You need a different voice. You need other voices besides your husband's voice, mm-hmm. because his is abusive. And so to get into counseling where someone can help you look at your issues that set you up for a relationship like this.
You cannot be all bad because nobody is. And so that's where you would begin as to why do I think that I'm all bad?
Right. He just needs you to embody all that's bad.
Well, and there is some.
So then he doesn't have any bad.
No, so that he can reject that, so he can discharge it.
Mm-hmm. And there's some truth about us training people.
Yes.
On how to treat us, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so you've kind of trained him that you're willing to take on that I'm all bad place, and we want.
Right, your stuff hooked into each other, right? Mm-hmm. So you are the perfect one ready to accept all of his garbage.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go with healing is a choice. I hope that'll help you. Hope you can get to a workshop. We really do want to help you. Hey, I want to, before we take the next call, read you a little quote here. Robert Flatt said, "Thanksgiving, like contentment, is a learned attribute. The person who hasn't learned to be content will not be thankful, for he lives with the delusion that he deserves more or something better." And William Ward said, "God gave you a gift of 86,400 seconds today. Have you used one to say thank you?"
Hmm.
I love that.
That's good.
There's something about thankfulness, gratitude, that is correlated with healthiness.
Yes. Well, yeah, and depression can't coexist with gratitude, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They can't occupy the same moment.
Let's go to Rebecca from Ventura, California, listens on the great station, KKLA. Hi there.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I really appreciate your ministry. It's been such a godsend for me over the last few years. But my question has to do with boundaries with my adult daughter. She kind of snuck her way in, and I say snuck her way in because we didn't really even have a conversation about her coming to stay with me. And my question is how to set healthy boundaries without crossing the line on being controlling, because that's what I kind of hear from her. I just had my other daughter move out. And she was with me with her children for 8 months, and it was a disaster.
So this
really,
daughter
really
just
bad. So I'm trying not to repeat myself, but healthy boundaries.
So this daughter just moved in?
Yeah, she made a lot of bad decisions, and she ended up getting evicted from her place. Mm-hmm. And so she
like
came
what
with
what's
me.
One of the bad decisions that she made?
She stopped paying her rent.
That's a pretty bad decision.
That's a bad decision.
She was out of work for 5 years taking care of her youngest child, her and her husband at the time. They're still married, but they're separated. And they decided that she would stay home until he started school, so she did that. Mm-hmm. And when she looked for work, she was so blessed to get a job making such great money. And the first thing she wanted to do is move out. She was living in a subsidized housing. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and
so,
you know, she wanted to move out. And I don't know.
We get it. We get it. So how can we help you? How can we help you?
Well, I'm looking for help. Like I said, my other daughter just moved out, and she was with me for 8 months, and I tried setting these boundaries of what I expected from her, and she has three kids. And, you know, I even had a contract that I set up because this was her third time moving home. And she kind of broke every rule that you know, my expectations of what I wanted and how I thought we could live peacefully. And it was just hard for me to really take the next step of what I can do because of her children. You know, it's one thing when your grown children live with you by themselves, but when they have children, it just makes it really hard to, you know, take a stance to say, okay, you know, it's time you move on. And so she was with me, my first daughter, and things just blew up, and I just asked her to leave. You got to leave, like, right now. It got so bad. So I'm trying to help this daughter and not repeat the same mistake, but also know when to, you know, draw the line of, you know, being taken advantage of. And
well, the question is going to be whether or not you set boundaries or make suggestions. And it sounds like you didn't really set boundaries with your other daughter. You made some suggestions because when they weren't fulfilled, you know, you didn't deal with it at that exact moment. They built up. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com. tv.newlife.com. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. We want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDared.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an Every Man's Battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Jill, you want to share some of the insights there with Rebecca?
Well, Rebecca, I think the one thing you can draw on is the fact that you've just had this history with her older sister, right?
Right.
Where it
right.
didn't go so well. And so I think you have to sit down with her and say that. It didn't go well with your sister. I don't want things to end up the same way where I finally blow up at you. And then you leave. So this is a short-term stop. We need to have a plan. What's your plan for becoming self-sufficient? Because I'm not doing you a favor by allowing you not to be self-sufficient.
Right. That's exactly what I did with her sister.
Okay.
And she just said, well, you know, I'm 38 years old, and, you know, I'm old enough to do this and do that. And I said, I get that, but what is your plan?
Mm-hmm.
She never really had a plan.
Okay, so if you can't come up with a plan, then I'm going to have to map out a plan. Because it's not okay for my house to be an indefinite stopping ground, right? I love you.
Yeah.
I want to help you in the short term, but I want to help you grow, not to keep you stuck.
Right. And so the other part to that is that, you know, she separated from her husband because he's going through some crazy stuff right now with addiction, and he doesn't want to seek help, or I guess she's not really kind of putting boundaries on him to get that help that he needs. So one thing I did tell her is, you know, I don't want drama at my house. I don't know what he's involved in. I know it's just more than that, but is that being too controlling to say that I don't really want him coming?
No, it's your house.
Over. No,
it's your house.
You can even model now setting boundaries to help your daughter set boundaries, right? You don't want her husband's chaos coming to your household.
Right. Because I did mention that, and she has yet to say anything to him about it. But
well, does he come over?
Well, he's come over just to pick up the kids, and you know, okay. He hasn't really come in and stuff. But
okay, well,
I know
so
she didn't mention it to him because one of my friends mentioned it to his mom, and so he was really hurt behind that when his mom told him, "Oh, you know, well, Rebecca doesn't want you at her house," and so he said to my daughter that he was, you know, really hurt behind that. And
So instead of all this roundabout, I would say to the husband, because they're still married, I love you, I care about you, but right now you're making bad choices, and until you get help, I don't want that chaos in my home. And so when you pick up the kids, you know, you can come to the door and take the kids, but that's as far as it goes. And it's not because I don't care about you. It's because I want you to get the help that you need.
And I want you to be responsible for your family, not me being responsible for your family. This is right.
Absolutely. Say, I should not be taking care of your family. Do what you have to do to become the man that you need to be.
That's right.
So part of what you've got to do, Rebecca, is decide on boundaries that you can enforce.
Mm-hmm.
Because the problem with boundaries that you can't enforce, you found that with your other daughter, that you couldn't enforce them, and everything agreed to was out the window. Choose some boundaries that you can enforce and be firm and strong and kind about those.
Right.
And that approach
loving
of,
but
hey,
firm.
I don't want to get to that point I did with your sister. That really works. That's a really good thing. Let's go to Maryland. Detroit, Michigan listens on the podcast. Hello there. How are you?
Oh, hi. I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How could we help?
I've got a question. My husband and I have a history of having battle of the wills. I want to change churches to a bigger church, but my husband and kids don't.
Why do you want to change churches?
I'm kind of trying to get a church like the one that I grew up in, like where I could be involved in a choir, maybe be in an orchestra. Also one that had like a larger youth group for my kids. They have just a very small number of people their age, and my husband's like the high school Sunday school teacher, and that's pretty much the extent of the youth program.
Okay, so you want some more things.
More opportunities.
That you could, more opportunities. And so what is the response that you'd
like to be
involved
in? Why do the kids like it?
Well, I think they've gone there their whole lives, and they're just, you know, one's in middle school, one's in ninth grade. They're comfortable. I guess they don't know what they're missing out on, in my opinion, because they haven't had, you know, they didn't have the experiences that I did earlier.
So you had an idea about how much better for everybody it would be to go to this other church. Does that mean that you would have to go worship there on Sunday morning rather than be with your family on Sunday morning?
I mean, my ideal would be for our whole family to go to the same church.
Yeah, but your ideal, it ain't working. You know, no one's going for your ideal. They don't even go for your idea, much less the ideal. So the question would be, could you go and be in a choir in a bigger church, but go be with your family on Sunday mornings?
Not
in a choir.
Well, you don't know. Sometimes the choirs only sing.
People come hear the choir.
You could go to choir rehearsal.
I don't know.
What about getting the kids into the youth group at the new church?
Because
it's usually not on a Sunday morning. It's usually at another time of the week, and just get them to go for a couple months to see what they like. And there's
Bible
an advantage
study
to them being in the smaller church because they're known by the other adults. That's a value. But there's a bigger advantage in being in a large youth group, especially with kids that they go to school with, so that they're identified as believers by yep. other kids, and that's important. So well, that's where I would begin, Marilyn. I wouldn't try to get your husband to change.
Yeah, and Marilyn, your husband is leading the some of the youth. I mean, what a cool thing that is. And I'm wondering if you're not valuing that in him.
That could very well be.
Right? Okay. And that may be some of the resistance, yeah. right? And the kids get to have their dad around at church and involved. I mean, that's incredible.
That's another plus.
Yeah. I like the idea of maybe getting the best of both worlds, mm-hmm. of trying something else to add into it. And not, Marilyn, idealizing your childhood experience mm-hmm. as the best or only way, right? You guys are co-creating a new experience that works for your family.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you the advice I give to people when they say, what should we do about church? I say, go to the church that your kids want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
If for any reason they find out about another church because of their friends and they go and they love it, I would really consider making that your new church.
I did that for my daughter.
Yeah, because kids don't want to go to church. About 20% of the kids when they get out of college these days stay involved with church. So I think you should go to the church you want to go to after your kids are out of the house and in college and your husband is not working with the youth.
Okay.
That's what I think.
But begin now by getting your kids involved in a youth group during the middle of the week.
Right, youth group or Young Life or something.
Or Young Life or something like that. Yeah.
But if they don't like it, you know, then you don't want to force that on them. You want to just ask them, would you be willing to try? That would be the goal, is just to try.
And we're not going to change. We just wanted you to try.
Right. Or you go to special events at the bigger church when they offer that.
Given. The husband is involved, and they like it there. I think the better course for you just might be to give up this idea of a different church. So often in life, we have these bad experiences, and Satan uses them and gets us to recreate them. Other times, like this great church in your childhood, we want to repeat it, and Satan uses that. When it was good, he uses that to mess stuff up. And so you go back to 1 Peter 4:10, where, you know, we're just called to have the attitude of Christ and be willing to sacrifice. This just might be not an issue of which church, but which church at what time. Maybe this isn't the best time. All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. Well, we would love to help you. That's what we're here for. Workshop, Lose It for Life coming up. The intensive that will help you become intimate in ways you never dreamed. We'd love for you to come to that. It's brand new. Francis Chan starts it off. We really want to see transformation in your life. We want to see you get some help, and we want to help you. Just call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you can help us, boy, that'd be great, too. We'll be back right after this.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number. And I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Yeah, we're back. Thanksgiving. Here's the opposite of Thanksgiving. It's the pledge of resentment. I pledge resentment to anyone who is not meeting my unrealistic expectations. And intense bitterness for not meeting my demands. And to anyone who is an irritation, including God, I'm in victim mode. With justified resentment for all.
So too many people live that way. That's
they
the
don't
sad
even realize
part of
it. It becomes yeah. normal. Mm-mm.
I resent you for not understanding why I resent you. I resent you pointing out that I resent you. I resent you for not showing up until after marriage, and I resent you for not knowing what I want, what I need, what I expect, what makes me tick, and what makes me ticked, like you. I resent you for not seeing me as perfect and for not being perfect yourself. And I resent you for not providing everything that my mommy and daddy could not provide. And I resent you for not being just like mommy or daddy. And I resent you for not. That's the end. Resentment is the opposite of gratitude. Bitterness, anger. You know, you don't want to be angry and bitter and resentful. You want to be grateful. Because there's a God in heaven that absolutely is crazy about you. That's something to be excited about. All right. Let's go to our final caller. And let's go to Brenda. She's calling from Sacramento, California. Hello, Brenda. How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have you ever called the program before?
I think a long time ago I called.
Okay. Remember, I believe it was July of 2012, if I remember correctly. But anyway,
oh, God,
go ahead.
You're going to make me cry.
And how could we help you today?
My question without any background knowledge is, God, why do I feel so sad and emotional over making my husband leave the house after all these years of marriage, infidelity, sexual impurity, emotional affairs, verbal abuse, over 15 jobs? You know, why? Why am I so sad?
Well, why wouldn't you
well,
be
yeah.
sad?
It's
oh my God! It just seems so
look
not
look at what
normal.
You lost, and look at all the effort you put into it, and you still lost. Man, I'd be sad.
Yeah,
and it's the loss of hopes and dreams, Brenda.
It's the loss of a marriage.
Yeah,
and all the hopes and dreams. That
yeah,
went
what
with that
you
marriage.
Wanted, the potential.
Yes.
Right, you could only live off the potential for so long, until you had to face reality. And you did, and it's a sad thing.
Yeah.
How it's not a happy reality. It's a sad reality.
How many women can you share your sadness with, Brenda?
I have a lot of support people. I just feel so ashamed.
Ashamed? Oh, why do you feel ashamed?
I feel like a failure.
But does that shame prevent you from sharing with all those support people?
No, I just need to do it.
Mm-hmm. So you haven't done it so far?
I'm in counseling, and I've shared with like my sister-in-law and my sister, just two people. I mean, I've been through this before, you know, 10 years ago when he had an emotional affair.
See, you know, the interesting thing is that wives tend to blame themselves for those kind of things, and you had nothing to do with it. It was it's a broken part of the man you were married to, and you can't fix it. And you didn't cause it. So you've got to understand that. That's where you've got to begin.
Yeah.
And if he's not willing to work on his part in the marriage, you can only do so much.
I know.
Now,
why do you think you should be able to do it all?
Yeah.
I know.
But here's the thing. You got to start looking at some point. It only took me 5 years, but I did eventually. You know, how have you made the problem worse, or how have you done things that enabled it or didn't bring it to a conclusion? Have you thought about those kinds of questions?
I think of just probably thinking, I don't know, probably just believing the lies, you know? Believing that, oh, no, it's not really happening. I want my family. Just, I think, believe in lies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
He played off of your goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, my God.
Right?
Yes.
And what you were hoping for. He kept holding that carrot out for you to get you to not look at his stuff. Yeah.
I know.
So, you know what? You've got some grieving to do.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some forgiving to do, and you've got some growth to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh man. And why? Just because you were a good person, believed the best about people, and then somebody used that against you. It's horrible.
And Brenda, living in reality, as sad as it is, it's better than living with false hope or living a lie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's better.
And if you can add some anger to your sadness, then you'll be grieving, and grieving has an end.
Mm-hmm.
So
the sadness does end up going away.
Yeah,
but you got to balance
it
with being protesting what was wrong, and not what was wrong with you, but what was wrong in him.
Oh my God, it seems so dark. But yes, and then I think about my kids, my daughters, but. You know, I got to move forward, and I just say,
show them how a person gets over deep, horrible tragedy, sadness, disappointment. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'll send you Healing is a Choice. I really hope that's going to help you there. Anybody else, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And be sure you check out those 12 gifts of Christmas. They're the New Life gifts. Of Christmas, there's a hoodie, a t-shirt, a mug with my mom's sayings on it, like it's always something. And we've got a cross, the New Life Cross, the Spiritual Renewal Bible, 7-Minute Marriage Solution Bible, all sorts of great, great things. And this journal that Dave and I are in love with, we're journalites is what we are. We believe the way of the journal.
Yes.
And there's just a lot of great things. Mm-hmm. And it supports us when you buy them and give them to other people. It tells them about us, and it provides us with funds to operate, which allows us to buy more radio time to be right here with you. God bless you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Dr. Dave Stoop and Jill Hubbard. And listen, did I say Hubble? I think I was talking to Solomon about the Hubble telescope.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I got lost there. Anyway.
That's a compliment.
Well, it's very effective. All right, so... Call us if you need us. And call us if you can help us help those that need us. Year-end gifts. It's time. Please come on board and become part of the New Life Giving family. It does. It makes all the difference in the world for some people. Have you thought about joining Club New Life? Oh, you get these great gifts, and we are so thankful to you, and we'll show you that every single month. We'll show you our gratitude. It makes so much difference when people say, here, just take it out of my account or take it off my credit card so I don't have to think about it anymore. It really does. So become a Club New Life member. You get discounts on everything that we do here. But we love you. We care about you. And we need you. And we want to point you to the Lord. He's the source of all this truth we talk about, all this wisdom. And we're grateful to get to be part of His family. We're grateful that you're part of ours. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.